Thank you.
Lovely day.
I was first recommended the spa by a friend in the city. I wasn't sure at first, but this will be my sixth retreat. And honestly, it's been life changing.
Come on, big pig, human.
Yeah, we just sort of give them what we give the normal pigs. You know, we've got some carrots, we've got some lettuce, normally organic stuff. You pay a bit more for that.
My work is highly stressful. I'm extremely important. And so to be able to escape for a pig weekender and...
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to my pre-election special. Contrary to some rumors in the chat, I am actually live. I am live, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't know how my schedule was going to pan out, but it turned out that I got a reprieve, and I've had today fallow ahead of driving up to Swindon. So, yes, I am going to do an election preview stream. Now, I did actually pre-record an election preview thing for tomorrow morning last week, so I need to say different things here. Now, that video basically goes through all the stuff I've been saying for the past couple of years, you know, about how I think the regime wants Trump and Harris as a jobber, and then I looked at, you know, three key factors that led me to that conclusion. So in this stream, I'm going to be doing a bit of a thought experiment, which is basically ignoring those things that I look at in that video tomorrow. I'll leave that for tomorrow morning. Today, I'm going to pretend that I don't believe that Harris is a jobber and that the regime want Trump, okay? That I believe in the kayfabe of electoral politics. So I'm going to be looking at much more conventional factors here and getting into the weeds a little bit. So we're just going to be doing a bit more bog standard analysis tonight. You've got my my kind of video tomorrow morning. I also recorded a morning after video earlier on today as well, which will come out on Wednesday. That will be interesting to watch when that comes out on Wednesday too. Tomorrow night, I am with the Lotus Eaters, and I will be on their election coverage all night. And should be fun if nothing else. And I will, you know, be on my best behavior as I always am. I'll give you my general takes here. And the things I'll be looking for tomorrow night, the things that I think the indicators as to what we'd look for to see if it, you know, which way it's going to go, and whether indeed there's going to be shenanigans as well, which I think is the big question. A lot of people who remember the last election will be looking at. Okay. Listen, the Lotus Eaters coverage can't be that bad if I'm on it. Okay. If I'm there, at least there's somebody of shimmering quality on the panel. But some of the other guests who are booked are pretty good as well. You know. So I would, if you want to stay up, that is. I've been trying to train myself. I stayed up late last night, tried to sleep in this morning. I'm going to do the same thing tonight. So I'm not going to be too knackered. So I'll get through the whole thing. Okay. No, I'm not wearing a Hawaiian shirt. I'm going for a Reservoir Dogs number tomorrow. Black suit, white shirt, black tie with a kind of bit of velvet on it. That's what I'm going to be wearing tomorrow. A thin black tie, Reservoir Dogs. So that's where I'm going to go. Yes, I've streamed with Ed Dutton in the past. Okay, so with all of that said, I'm going to do a little, going to go through these five election trends that I think are going to tell us pretty swiftly which way things are going to go. These are the things I'll be looking out for. And yeah, like I said, I do have that other video tomorrow morning where I have a very different look at it. But I thought it'd be an interesting thought exercise to take my signature thesis away and to look at it in a much more conventional term. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight. And I've got a bit of a presentation to go through. Then I'll do super chats or whatever else. Entropy is open. Live chat is open. People have trickled in. So let's do it. Okay. So first thing I'm going to look at, I'm going to hide me. First thing I'm going to look at here is comparing the two campaigns. Okay. So Kamala Harris, she did a very unusual campaign, which was practically devoid of actual content. I wonder if she was inspired by Ed Davey from the Lib Dems here. Remember his campaign where he was just kind of going down slides and things like that? Well, Kamala Harris tried to do something similar. She ran on vibes. Initially, it was Kamala is brat. Then they were saying she's running a campaign of joy, right? The trouble is that her campaign was so stage managed, so corporate, so inorganic, so fake, so regime, and she's so devoid of charisma that it didn't really have any joy. It was like, you ever been to a situation where you're at a party or something and the host is a bit nervous and they say, come on, is everybody having fun? And you kind of do a fake smile and grimace and like, yeah, having the time of our lives, honestly. It was a little bit like that. I'd imagine like a party hosted by Stalin. Comrades, you having a great time, everybody? You having a good time? And then he points a gun at you. Go on, dance. Say you're having fun. We're putting the joy back, aren't we? I mean, it was very much like that. It was kind of joy as imagined by a Soviet commissar, as imagined by Stalin, basically. So, yeah, that was the Kamala Harris vibes. Trump, I would say, has had quite a lot of bold policies. Bold in terms of, I mean, you know, there's been wild things discussed over the course of the campaign. Not just going hard on immigration and illegal immigration, but, you know, he's at times he said he's going to lock up those people who've done him wrong. At times, Elon Musk has come out with some crazy things. He has put Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy. I mean, it's like Avengers Assemble, right? He's put together this team and they've come out with bold sounding policies. J.D. Vance, of course, is the running mate. They've come out with things that, if they were done, sound like they're radical. Okay. So there's been, you know, it's been basically contentless vibes versus Trump throwing out some pretty massive slabs of red meat for his base. Okay. Harris was not elected as the Democratic candidate. She was installed by the Democrat Party, widely seen as having coup Joe Biden, who even wore a MAGA hat during the election. And some even speculated that Biden in the past couple of weeks has been deliberately trying to sabotage Harris because, you know, at least in the MAGA kayfabe, Biden doesn't like Harris and is trying to sabotage her because he believes he was wrongly couped. So that has basically taken a lot of the enthusiasm and energy out of the Harris campaign. People on the left of the party said that they were basically denied a chance of voting for somebody like Bernie Sanders, say, or somebody who would excite them. So they were basically told much like the Tory membership was told, you're going to have Rishi Sunak. And you saw how that turned out. Kamala Harris was basically just imposed on the Democrats, which has not has led to a kind of feeling like they're being forced to go along with this, just like the kind of Stalinist joy idea. It's also like, yeah, we're going to have to get up for Kamala Harris, who you all hated and didn't vote for before and have never voted for and have never liked. But yeah, guys, Harris is the one. So yeah, there's been a bit of that. I mean, if the Harris vibe is anything, it is of being forced. Meanwhile, on the Donald Trump side, he's at the polar opposite of being imposed on his party. He has seen off unprecedented establishment attempts to derail and destroy him, including challenges from Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, endless lawfare, like five different attempts to put him in jail, and assassination attempts, right? So Trump really has had the Hollywood movie, the hero against all odds. It looks like he's down and out. The walls are coming in, but he just keeps on getting back up again. You can't put Trump down. That's basically the story with Donald Trump. Against all odds, the Donald, you just can't put him away. They try to kill him. They try to put him in jail. They went after his family. They went after his friends. But Trump is still there. Got to admit, it's good TV, isn't it? It's good TV. Gets people back, gets people invested emotionally in it all. He's got the best writers going, Trump. Harris, absolute rubbish. Trump, really, really amazing Hollywood quality screenwriting. Harris lent on a lot of celebrity endorsements and papered crowds. When I say papered, that's a term from the world of pro wrestling when they can't quite fill the arena, so they just give freebies out to people. WCW used to do that all the time. Be like, oh, yes, Bash at the Beach in Miami. We're going to do it at Disneyland, guys. And then they'd be like, shit, nobody wants to come. Oh, let's go and see these guys who've gone to Disneyland. Do you want a free ticket to the wrestling, guys? Do you want to come and watch some matches? And that's that is known as a papered crowd. And the Kamala Harris campaign, it turned out, was doing that. Like, they were getting like homeless people in, okay? And the celebrity endorsements were like, yay, we've got Beyonce. Beyonce wants Kamala Harris. Yay. She's not going to sing, though, but she's going to come out and say a few words, because that's really what people want in their politics, is Beyonce. They want her views. Taylor Swift, guys, that's going to change the election. Oh, that's going to really change how people vote. What Taylor Swift says. AA. You're just underestimating how famous Taylor Swift is. She's bigger than the Beatles, man. Look, she won Time Person of the Year. AA, you're out of touch. You don't understand how much Taylor Swift matters to politics. Do you remember? Well, that was Kamala Harris's campaign. Meanwhile, Trump, just like his other two campaigns, in fairness, was high energy. He had very big rallies, you know, people, excitement wherever he goes. The thing is that every time Kamala Harris said, oh, look, his crowds are small and so on, it always backfired, because anybody who's ever been to a Trump rally will tell you the crowds aren't small. It's high energy. There's lots of people there. Makes people feel good. Ironically, there is joy. Trump does bring good vibes and joy, because that has always been what MAGA's about. Harris is basically like that dog that they tried to introduce in Simpsons. Do you remember? Hey, kids. Hey, kids. Me and Taylor Swift here. Hey, kids. You know, if you want to be cool, you vote Kamala Harris. Max is cool, guys, and eat your vegetables. That's basically how Harris came across. It was like a kind of the sort of campaign that Sesame Street might run. Do you remember in Sesame Street where they'd be like, oh, look who's at Sesame Street today, hanging out with Big Bird. It's, who's in? It's, oh, we've got a big celebrity here. Bill Crosby, guys, or whatever the hell it was. In many ways, her campaign was antiquated, stupid, ill thought out. She was seen widely as ducking the media, criticised by lots of people, including Bill Maher, who I think was secretly campaigning for Trump the whole time. And then she tried to combat that. So after being criticised for ducking the media endlessly, she then staged like a ton of really bad corporate media appearances, which were kind of carefully curated and man-managed and scripted and soft and rubbish, okay? In contrast, Trump went on Joe Rogan and talked for 3 hours, or he went on, or Elon Musk went on Tucker Carlson, say, or they basically just did bro hangouts where they just talked off the cuff, unscripted, wandered into different areas. Okay, they rambled, but it didn't really matter because in this day and age, that's what people are looking for. Somebody they trust, somebody that they can have a parasocial relationship with, much like how many people say they have that sort of thing with me. So Trump had that in spades, and he's able to do that because Trump is a people person who tries to get the room on side using his charisma and his kind of macho alpha male-ness. He's always been good at that, Trump, ever since he was a celebrity. Trump has been good at that. Kamala Harris, she can't do that because she is a creature who needs her lines given to her. She needs to rehearse. She can't do anything off the cuff, right? It's the difference between the little girl SWAT who needs to revise tons and then gets into the exam, writes down all the things she's memorized from the exam and feeling stressed, and the guy who just does no revision but through natural flair gets in there, does all his exams and aces them. That was me, by the way. it generally was. But Trump is that as well. Trump doesn't like, he doesn't need to pray. He's just got it. He can just wing it if need be. Doesn't need his lines fed to him. He's just Trump. Harris campaign made a big deal of abortion. They also had this really cringy white guys for Harris thing where the same five white guys went to various locations and posed like they were members of the gayest boy band you've ever seen, hoping that people wouldn't notice that it was the same five guys in every single photo. You know, they had $1 billion, right, in campaign money, the Harris campaign. $1 billion. White guys for Harris. Guys who literally have soy energy. They think that this was going to be cool. Young men were going to look at that and be like, yeah, I want to vote for Kamala Harris because those five gay lords are, you know, taking selfies outside Las Vegas or a theme park or something. Well, anyway, abortion, as it turns out, despite the despite endless numbers of people telling me, oh, abortion, that's going to, you know, women really love abortion. Yeah, it's the number one issue, and women are 50% of the population, and this is what's going to win it for Harris. Well, it turns out that abortion is not in the top five election issues. It's number seven. And you can have a look at poll after poll after poll. Abortion does not come in the top five issues. Right. See, the thing is that Roe versus Wade, in some ways, is a little bit like the pandemic. Like, talking about it now, what are they going to do? Bring it back? I mean, it's just like the issue, Trump explained it pretty well at the debates. He's devolved it down to the state level. Right. So, I mean, they can keep on going on about it, but it's a weak top line issue. One, because it doesn't speak to the entire electorate. And two, because even among those people who it is important for, it's not the number one issue. The number one issue in every single poll, what did Ronald Reagan say? It's the economy, stupid, right? The economy is the top issue. And the number two issue is immigration, right? So Haitians eating dogs and all of the furore that was made out of that, the Democrats basically came out on the wrong side of the number two issue for the country. And immigration is way out as the number two issue, as, you know, as like 80% economy, and then immigration is two. All the others are way down, if you have a look. So, yeah. On the issues, Trump is talking about the thing that affects most people. I mean, the abortion, the media can talk about it, and you guys can fall for it. You can get tricked by Democrats or tricked by MSM. But fact is, abortion is not going to win this election. It's not going to be the decisive factor in this election. For example, early voting among women, we've already seen, is down. Right. So if abortion was this absolute massive issue that's going to get out all the women to vote, why is early voting down among women? Orcs. Also, finally, it completely failed. October surprise. Does anybody remember what the October surprise was? Anyone remember what the October surprise was? I can't. Oh, yeah, I remember now. They accused Trump of... they basically tried to poll the Trump was a sex pest 31 years ago. It's always 31 years ago, because therefore it's outside the statute of limitations. Only problem was, is that she accused Trump of going to Epstein Island, right? But 31 years ago. Trouble was, Epstein didn't own the property she claimed that this happened at 31 years ago. She said it happened in 1993. Epstein didn't even own the property until 1996. Oh dear. So that was a shit October surprise, wasn't it? Also, they had one of the easiest gimmies in political history. A cute squirrel was killed, right, by the authorities. Everybody loves cuddly animals, yeah? You don't, if you're a politician, right, and somebody says, oh, do you like cute puppies or do you like killing puppies? Oh, yeah, I love killing puppies, me, yeah. Like it's just the easiest thing in the world for a politician to, what, kiss babies and say they like dogs, right? This is... themselves on the wrong side of the peanut, the squirrel story. They actually came out on the side of killing the squirrel. Fucking brilliant. And none of their attacks on Trump landed at all. Surprise, surprise, because after 8 years of calling a guy Hitler, fascist, convicted felon, you know, like everybody's seen it now for the past decade. So attacking him is not going to land. Trying to claim he's low energy is not going to land, right? because he's high energy. Saying he's losing it because of his age is not going to land, because Joe Biden is still the fucking president, you morons. Okay? So none of those attacks landed. And finally, speaking of Joe Biden, calling Trump supporters garbage didn't land. And Kamala Harris then trying to explain away calling them garbage after having basically called them garbage for the past 4 years also didn't land. So all in all, pretty fucking shocking from Harris. On Trump, they capitalized on the peanut story successfully. They seized on weak Waltz, especially Waltz, just an abysmal pick, by the way. One of the weakest people I can remember in any campaign. Harris, also abysmal. I think the chap on the Duran put it well, Alexander Mercouris. He said, like, they've already got a zero in Harris, so adding another zero still makes zero. That was a good one, Alexander. They were just terrible. And the Trump campaign is just really good at seizing on stuff like that, mocking it. One of the most Chad-like things the Trump campaign did was they just posted the Harris campaign ad. They literally just posted the Harris campaign ad. That was... unedited. They just... So anyway. My verdict on the Kamala Harris campaign is zero. And I have to stress this. Can you hear me? I was cut off rudely. Rudely, I was cut off. Stop the vote. Stop the vote. I was cut off. I'm back. So where was I? Where was I? Yes, thank you, Matthew Mills. Welcome back. Yeah, so I was just in the middle of a rant talking about all of the awful election campaigns I can remember. Sunak 24, May 2017, Ed Miliband 2015, Neil Kinnock 1992, okay? Fucking Joe Biden 2020 was an abysmal campaign. And this one from Harris was worse. It is so bad. I hope in years to come that, I hope she loses because she absolutely deserves to lose. But secondly, in years to come, assuming Trump's win, I want the Harris campaign to be studied in like politics classes for how not to run a campaign. Shockingly shit. Shocking. I've got a hypothesis, by the way, as to why it was so bad. And I think it was bad, basically, because it was run by talentless 25-year-old women. That's my belief. Talentless Zuma women ran Harris's campaign, and that is why it was so shit. That's my view. All right. For the Trump campaign, I would give it 8 out of 10. It was better than the 2020 campaign, which smelt a little bit Paul Ryan-ish, if you ask me. It was a bit kind of bog-standard GOP. There were fingerprints of disgusting Jared Kushner were all over it, I'm afraid, back in 2020. The 2020 campaign had a lot of energy, though, and had a lot of, like, trucks out, like, people in trucks and signs, and there was a lot of enthusiasm, visible enthusiasm in 2020. And I think his actual rallies were probably higher energy in 2020. Maybe he's that bit older now. But overall, he has been more hardcore this time, right? That he's on the issues I'm talking about. He has been more, he's had a bit more bite, not quite back to 2016 levels, but enough to get people excited or to get people, like, he's taken some risks too. Picking J.D. Vance was a risk, if you ask me. Right, I feel like 2020 Trump would have picked some GOP generic, right? J.D. Vance, who again, maybe can't fully be trusted, is still basically like the closest thing to one of us you've ever seen in politics, right? He is a candidate who uses phrases like based and red pilled in everyday conversation. He is a candidate who is from the internet, right? He's from literally the quote-unquote online right. Whether he's genuine or not remains to be seen. But the fact is, he sounds like one of us, which gets people like us excited, right? Not me, of course, because I have no feelings and believe that politics is basically a television show and that democracy doesn't exist. But for most of you who, you know, still real to me, damn it, Vance got you excited, right? Also, he's had a much bigger support cast this time. Now, Trump has always had a support cast, but we've gone from people like kind of Roger Stone. Do you remember Roger Stone? We've gone from like people like that to like literally Elon Musk, Robert Kennedy Jr., Ramaswamy, you know, Tulsi, who is hot, by the way, the hot badger, Tulsi Gabbard. And I wouldn't underestimate the significance of that, right? Because in 2016, Trump was allied with people who are seen in the overall scheme of things as a bunch of headbangers and loons. Tea Party, hardcore libertarian types, Alex Jones. You know, they just, whereas now he's aligned with the world's richest man, literally one of the Kennedy family, a former Democrat, former Democratic presidential candidate, and some random Indian guy, right? but the reason that that is important is that there's a perception that Trump is for everybody. Trump is not just for the headbangers now. He is for all of those people who feel like they don't have a political home. And I wouldn't underestimate the significance of getting the RFK endorsement and having RFK as part of his team. Because he will bring some people from the disaffected left over. He will. And one of the stories of the 2020 election is that there were some number of white working class voters who didn't come out for Trump last time. They either went for Biden or they stayed at home. Okay. Malarkey or no malarkey, that seems to have happened, right? And how do we know that there are enough people who came out and said they were disillusioned with Trump in 2020? I can name lots of them myself, right? I'll give you an example of a very influential guy, right, who had this view of Trump in 2020. Devin Stack, blackpilled, right? He went off Trump. Now, he is never going to come back to the Trump train, right? And most of his audience probably won't either. But it's just an example of someone who was excited 8 years ago who wasn't excited in 2020. Okay? And bringing RFK and Musk brings a whole new bunch of people in who can get excited about Trump and plays better with some of these voters he needs to get. So all of these things give him an 8 out of 10. Why is it not 10 out of 10? Too much pandering to minorities, basically. They spent way too much time focusing on trying to get, you know, the N-words for Trump. That was a genuine campaign, wasn't it? And, you know, what was it that Matt Gaetz said? We don't care about Karen. We don't care about Karen. We care about Jamal and Pedro. And I really do think that they went a bit too much on that, which is a risk. And I'll tell you why it's a risk. In fact, it's one of my points here, but I might as well mention it now. Karen, you say what you want about Karen. Karen turns out. And Karen, despite her reputation, has turned out for Trump consistently. White women in majority went for Trump in 2016 and in 2020. Karen did, okay? Pedro and Jamal have never come out for Trump. Okay, they've moved it a little bit. But I still think way too much time and effort was put into those guys, in my opinion, right? So I take marks off for that. I also think that for those of us truly in the know, myself, of course, I can see Yiz in the chat there, knowing, look, Yiz, yeah? Tap, 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 tap. Mum's the word. We know that this is still not the real deal, eh? Yes, we know, right? It's not the real deal. We can tell. But most people can't, because most people, you know, just don't care. Most people just can't see. Most people are stupid, as we know. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. 8 out of 10, all things considered. Right. So let's get on to these five trends before I hit these super chats. Now, one thing I'll say is that in my search for this stream, because I knew I was going to do this stream, I basically ignored polls, punditry. I have forgot all slop, for I have a different view of politics now. But in preparation for this, I forced myself to listen to hours upon hours of Robert Barnes, Richard Barris, bloody, like, you name them, I listen to them. I listen to hours of slop commentary to bring you this. And in all of that, hours upon hours of absolute crap I listened to, so you didn't have to. There was one little statistic that Barris came out with that perked up the old ears, perked up my ears. I raised a quizzical eyebrow, I did. And that was the little fact that Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania have voted the same way in every election since 1988. Right. And the reason that Barris was highlighting this is he said, if you notice, these pollsters always come out and they say, oh, in these three states, either Trump is plus one or they're evens in two of the states. But then in the third one, Harris is plus six. Right. And what Barris has noted, who's a nerd who does this for a living, is that they take it in turns, the liberal, like the MSM pollsters, they take it in turns for who's going to be the outlier, right? So every couple of weeks, they produce these polls, and then one of them will have Harris as plus six. And what he was saying is like, this is bollocks, because for whatever reason, these three states, which are similar in terms of demographics, similar in terms of economy, issues, these are the Rust Belt states, right? These three states are, but when people talk about the Rust Belt, it's these three states, okay? Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. What he was saying was, is that if you look in every single election, if there's a shift, let's say if Pennsylvania, right, shift for the Democrats, Michigan and Wisconsin also shift for the Democrats. If Pennsylvania shifts to Republicans, so does Michigan and so does Wisconsin. And why is that? It is because all three of those areas have traditional working class voters. Okay. In British terms, it's almost like they're the Brexit crowd, right? This is like your Brexit voter, basically. Okay. And what Barris said is that in 2020, all three of these states swung back for Biden. Okay. There was a drop off in enthusiasm for Trump, and they went for Biden. And as far as I can tell, Barris does not believe that that particular swing was malarkey, right? If you notice, all of the malarkey happened in basically a few counties that have a certain demographic, okay? Basically, heavily black counties. That was where malarkey took place last time. If indeed malarkey did take place, that is debated by some people still. When I say some people, I don't mean mainstream shills. I mean people on our side, genuinely in their heart of hearts, believe that 2020 was not stolen because of this white working class shift away from Trump. Okay. Basically, there was a number of people who felt let down by Trump in the Rust Belt last time, and they went back for Biden. Okay. Now, if you find that hard to believe, don't forget, Biden is an old white guy who made his entire career being able to talk to union dudes, right? And I remember he went down there, puts on a cap. Hey, it's old Joe here. You can trust me, guys. You know, let's go. Like, he can do that because that's what Joe Biden brought. Now, my view, as soon as they pick Kamala Harris as the replacement for Biden, my immediate thought is that those voters are going to not want to vote for Harris, right? On straightforward identity politics grounds, right? Because Joe Biden was an old white dude like them. And Kamala Harris is not an old white dude. Donald Trump is an old white dude, right? And so when Joe Biden put on that MAGA cap, right? And even though he was doing it for a joke, he did it in a room of old white dudes. And he did it because they all got it, right? And those old white dudes are just going to go back for Trump, or they're going to stay at home. Either way, that advantage that Biden had last time is probably, if you ask me, it's probably gone. Okay. And the early voting is coming in for some of these, for Pennsylvania, for example. And at this time, last 4 years ago, Biden was 1 million votes up in PA. And Kamala Harris is less than half of that. She's like 400 and odd. And this was something else that Barnes and Barris were bringing up. They were saying that Van Jones, a week ago, said that when those early votes come in, anything less than 500K for Harris will be a disaster. Right? And it was 400 and odd when it came in. And then they showed more liberal kind of talking heads, and they moved the goalposts. They kind of changed where the target was. Fact is, Pennsylvania was not won by that many votes last time, right? The margin was way smaller than that. So there's a 500,000 votes gone missing in the early vote. So anyway, that suggests that things are looking pretty good for Trump in the Rust Belt by the looks of things. Okay. I have seen tons of polls, and one of the things I've been looking for is, do these polls split the three states here? Now, it's not impossible that they split, right? It's not impossible the two of them go one way and one of them go the other way. But that hasn't happened basically since 1988, right? So it hasn't happened in the modern era. It hasn't happened literally since Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush time. That was a lifetime ago. That was like 30 odd years ago, right? So it hasn't happened in a long time. So on election night, I'm going to be looking for any sign that these three states are splitting or if they're going the same way, right? If they're going, and basically the election is won or lost here. If these three states go for Harris, he's won. If they go for Trump, he's won. And early voting makes it look like it's going to go for Trump. It just looks like it's going to go for Trump. Okay. Trend number two. Can the GOP get historically unreliable voters, such as disenfranchised white men, new mostly male black and Hispanic supporters, right? Can they get these historically unreliable voters to turn out? Can they get them to turn out? It's all well and good telling somebody on a YouTube video or on a podcast or in a Vox Pop, oh, I love Trump, man. I love Trump, man. Right? But these sorts of voters have a habit of, oh, I'm smoking a spliff and I'm playing on my Xbox. Oh, shit, it's the election. Oh, shit, I forgot. Or I stayed in bed. Oh, shit. Oh, I'm too drunk or whatever. They just forget. They're not like Karen. Karen, she's there straight away. She fills out the form. She's already got her vote in. Karen, she's already voted. Early vote is already in, right? But these voters, Jamal and Pedro, and what's a kind of disenfranchised white guy name? Buck, right? Buck, Jamal, and Pedro are all unreliable, especially if they're under 30. And these are the exact voters that Trump has been courting. Exactly these. So the GOP are going to have a job on their hands to get any percentage of those to turn out for him. Okay? That's a risk, in my opinion. And that's why I say it was a mistake to write off Karen in favor of these guys. Okay? I really do think it was a mistake to say, oh, yeah, we don't care about white women. Really? Because they actually vote and these guys don't. Another thing they've done is there's been a certain shift away from Trump in the olds. And when I say olds, like in the over 65, in the boomer bracket, right? Because again, they've been targeting these younger voters. Now, usually that's not a good strategy to do that. So if Harris has got a chance of winning the election, she wins it on women and olds, and at the expense of these voters, counting on the fact that most of them will be staying at home or not bothering to vote. Right? So Harris is counting on these guys not turning up and then over-indexing on the Karens and the olds. Early voting, though, looks like it's not happening because, like I said, the female vote is down in the early votes. Which brings me on to trend three. I am not backtracking Tuesday, FA Tuesday. I'm giving value-free analysis. And what I'm saying is, if Harris has got a chance of winning, she's going to win it there. Dear brain, I haven't backtracked anything. Can't you understand what analysis is? I'm saying if Harris has a chance anywhere, it's on those things. And if the Trump campaign did anything wrong, it's that. Okay, I didn't say he's going to lose because of that. I just said that's Harris's chance. I also said it doesn't look like it's happening. Clean out your ears, son. Trend three. Will change circumstances around early voting wipe out the margins by which Biden won in 2020. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Early voting is down for the Democrats. Okay. The Republicans, even though Trump said he's not up for early voting, he said a number of times he's not up for early voting. Okay, he just doesn't like it as a mechanism. But some of the GOP machine and the ground game have actually been encouraging an early vote. So the GOP early vote has been all right. It's been kind of, it's a little bit up on where it was last time. Okay, not significantly, but it's up on where it was. Republicans historically vote on the same day. They don't go for the early voting for some reason. Okay. But some Republicans have gone for the early vote this time. The trouble is that the Dem early vote is down a lot. And when I say a lot, in some cases by 50% or more. Now, here's the question. Are those votes down because in 2020 there was the pandemic and therefore lots of people voted early because they didn't want to go to the polls on the day? Or are they down because those people aren't going to come out at all for Harris? That's really the question. Now, it could be that all those people who haven't bothered voting yet this time just go to the polls on the day because there's no pandemic, okay? But that doesn't sound like the Democrats to me. Just doesn't sound like the Democrat voter to me. If you voted early last time, why wouldn't you vote early this time, eh? So, yeah, that's a big question. And that'll be something that we'll be looking for. Like, I'll be... tomorrow night, if I look at anything at all, I'll be trying to figure out, are the rates of Democrats' votes coming in comparable with last time, or are they significantly up because of the fact that there's no COVID anymore? That's really the question. Did COVID, is the non-factor of COVID suppressing the early voting because they're going to vote early because they're going to vote on the day? Big question. I don't know. But that's something I'm going to be looking for, because the assumption is basically that Democrats vote early, Republicans vote on the day, right? That's the assumption. So trend four, will additional safeguards against quote unquote fortification do enough to hamper the Harris vote? Now, here's the thing. I have noticed that there have been additional safeguards this time. There have been. There's been a number of late Supreme Court rulings, state-level Supreme Court rulings, and even top-line state court rulings. that have in Pennsylvania, which is one of the key places, they have overturned a ruling on undated ballots, which is significant because they had this thing where the ballot didn't have to have the date stamp on it, which is crazy and so obviously cheating. That's been overturned now. Okay. So now they're not going to do that anymore. And also that means that they can't receive any ballots after election deadline day, right? Like they were saying, oh, even if we receive the vote late, we're still going to vote. We're still going to count it. Not going to do that anymore because it has to be dated. Has to be stamped and dated. You know, like in any normal first world country. Second thing, where was the other state that got kind of rule tightened up? There was another one. Was it North Carolina? I can't remember. There was another one, basically, where they've tightened up a few things. I forget where it was now, but I've been noticing it here and there. It's not like they fully made it robust. So I still think there's a lot more they could do, but there's definitely a sense that this time the GOP machine are saying, like, we're watching you. You're not going to get away with it this time. There's a sense of that. Not only in terms of the actual safeguards they're putting in, but also in terms of people like Elon Musk, even Jeff Bezos, right, saying, like, yeah, we're going to keep an eye on this time. Zuckerberg, of course. You know, you got all these characters around basically saying, like, yeah, we're watching. We don't believe it was stolen last time, but we're going to watch this time. I mean, Zuckerberg did it, didn't he, last time? He basically came out and said it. The operation was funded by Zuckerberg, and he's not giving those funds this time. So yeah. Now, that's not going to say they're still not going to try. I mean, maybe the Democrats have been playing this way for so long that they don't know anything else, that they cannot help but do it this way, okay? But I feel like there's been a few little hints where the system's saying, yeah, you just try it this time. There's more than enough people who've been like, yeah, we're watching. So, yeah, I feel like... There was one in Georgia, I seem to remember as well. There was an additional safeguard put in Georgia, but I can't remember by who or why. By the Georgia Senate, I think it was. Anyway, let's carry on. Oh yes, I should say as well. now there's been a couple of announcements that some results will be delayed, right? That they'll come out late, that they'll come out, you know, delayed up to 4 or 5 days. Quite why they can't count it on time, on the day, like every other bloody place in the world, I don't know. But I have seen a few stories saying that there are some states who just don't have their act together. And it looks like Pennsylvania is one of them, okay? I did see that Michigan is going to try to get it done on the night, right? This Michigan should be faster this time. But Pennsylvania is one of the ones that takes a long time, apparently. And it just so happens that Pennsylvania is the key, is one of the absolute keys to win, right? We'll know if shenanigans are on, right? If how many points is Pennsylvania worth? Electoral college map. How much is Pennsylvania worth? So Pennsylvania, we're looking at the Electoral College here. Pennsylvania is worth 19 points, okay? 19 points. Let's pretend that it's a tie and, you know, whoever wins Pennsylvania wins and it's delayed, right? In those circumstances, in that sort of scenario, that's when we're looking at, oh, here we go again. That would be here we go again. Now, let me just have a look at. And what I'll do is I'll see if I can pick. I'll see if I can pick up one of those maps where I do my own picks on the map. Right, I'll do that myself. I'll do a pick map thing. Hold on. I'll do an interactive map at the end of this to try to give a call, whatever, yeah? Anyway, so yeah, we'll know if we're in for a repeat of 2020 if the Pennsylvania result is delayed, right? And everything swings on Pennsylvania. Now, it could be, and I've seen more than one report say this, saying, actually, this election could be a blowout. Even though all the polls say it looks close, because of the intricacies of the Electoral College, it could be that even though it's close, one of the candidates absolutely blasts the other one away, in which case Pennsylvania won't even matter so much. Right? It is quite frustrating, though, that they've always got that insurance of, oh, let's just wait. See how many votes we need, you know. But the phrase I've seen used a lot online from Republicans and the likes of Elon Musk is too big to rig. Too big to rig. And so either they're counting on the vote for Trump being so overwhelming that they can't possibly overcome that with malarkey, or it's such a blowout that it doesn't even matter if one of the more dubious states, and Pennsylvania is probably the most dubious of all the states, decides to try to pull, oh, we have to wait 5 days type thing. It won't even matter because there'll already be a winner, is what I'm saying, right? We'll see. I'm not saying, by the way, that they won't try, because I mean, I've said before, I've said it many times, regardless of what the regime wants and what the powers that be, the ones who Trump answers to, etc., want, the Democrats themselves are criminal. The Democrat Party machinery and the part of the Democrat Party that Kamala Harris is from is literally criminal in nature. They're mafia, right? So I'm not saying they're aligned with the actual mafia. I'm saying they operate like a criminal organization. And we've already seen that they can go rogue. For example, I believe that the attempts to jail Trump were all rogue. The regime did not let it happen, notice, because Trump is not in jail. As I said, he wouldn't be. Blue and on is always blue balled, remember? But they still tried. And how do they try? Crazy black judge in Georgia, you know, mental guy in the DOJ. Somebody wants to be a hero somewhere, right? So it's not like they don't have total control over all their little minions. And some of their minions are mental, as we've seen already. So I'm not saying they won't try. But I would expect these efforts this time, when there's maximum scrutiny on this election, there's another question. We could see a scenario where they go for the steal in the court and the media doesn't cover for them, or the media breaks for Trump. That's a scenario too, which, you know, would surprise me, but, you know, these are all in play, right? They're all possibilities. incidentally, I made a poll on Twitter the other day where I asked people what they think is going to happen. I will share the results of that poll here, and then I will poll the live audience to see if you agree with my Twitter followers. I'll run the exact same poll. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, so 5,200 people voted in this poll of my followers on Twitter. I said, predict Trump win, no chimp. Trump win, left chimp. Harris steal, no chimp. Harris steal, MAGA chimp. Right. Well, basically, the majority of the audience think Trump is going to win. That is 72%, 71% of people think Trump is going to win. The majority think that Trump will win and the left will chimp. Some people think Harris will steal and there'll be no chimp for MAGA. And some people think Harris will steal and MAGA will chimp. Okay. So those are the final results. But let's see what the chat here think. Let's see what the chat here think. Start a poll. Predict. I'll do exactly the same poll. Let's see if people agree or disagree. Trump win. No chimp. Left Trump win, left chimp. Harris steal, no chimp. And I won't tell you what I mean, most of you, if you know my views, will know what I think it already, but I won't try to influence your selection. I'll tell you what I think after the results are in. Let's have a look. So people are voting. Oh, much more discerning crowd here coming in with the correct AA answer. Oh, shit, there's a mistake in the poll. I'll have to do it again. How annoying! Right, I'll do it again. Hold on. Bollocks. Right. Let's do it again. Trump win, no chimp. Trump win, left chimp. Harris steal, no chimp. Harris steal, MAGA chimp. Note how, by the way, who I don't believe that Harris can win fair and square. I only believe that the Democrats can win through malarkey at this point. If you want to know what chimping is, Branstein, it's when people get rioty and violent or march or protest, or that's chimping. January the 6th was a chimp. The Summer of Love, Summer of Floyd was a chimp. That's what we call chimping. Yeah. A civil disorder, basically, is what we call a chimp. Fiery, but mostly peaceful, indeed. Goal was not reached. I set the goal ages ago, but it was not reached. I had a goal for a video reviewing Ben Shapiro versus Sam Harris. People didn't want it. Only 6 people out of 10 sent super chats. Therefore, there'll be no such video. You didn't want it. Didn't want it. So, yeah, let's have a look at that. Thoughts on Haywood? Somebody asked. Well, I feel like Haywood underestimates the influence of one particular issue. He thinks it's a side issue. I think it is the only and decisive issue in American politics. The winner of the poll. The poll went in exactly the same way as Twitter, basically. Exactly the same way as Twitter. So you all basically agree. The expectation of most of the audience is that the Trump will win and the left will chimp. My view is that Trump will win and the left won't even be bothered to chimp. That's my view. But we'll see. That is also Charles Haywood's view, by the way, that the left will, Trump will win and the left will chimp. Anyway, the fifth trend here. Will the changed mood of billionaires such as Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Mark Zuckerberg discipline the media in any post-election fallout? And again, we don't know the answer. Jeff Bezos has already changed the editor of the Washington Post and ordered them to have more conservative commentators. And he actually wrote an article explaining his thinking the other day. So... Will these powerful rich men having their eye on what's happening change what goes on? Hard to say. I mean, it's looking like the Trump win may be big enough that there might not even be a post-election fallout. It might just be a straight, clean win, which I want, basically. I think the pro wrestling payoff would be a Trump win, clean in the middle, 1-2-3. He has his arm raised. He finally wins after, you know, so many trials and tribulations. Kamala Harris just puts him over as an avatar of the old regime, an avatar of the evil woke left who hate Israel, right? And love Palestine. Trump wins. That's basically the story, I think, that would be best for getting white boys to die in their wars once more. And it will work. It will absolutely work, if they run that as the narrative. As you know, I believe Trump will be the savior of the American regime, not its kind of, he'll basically save all of these people, which is why Ben Shapiro was so excited about the prospect of him coming once more. If you haven't seen that Ben Shapiro versus Sam Harris thing, by the way, I mean, it's moderated by Barry Weiss. And I mean, literally, you've got Shapiro and Harris arguing over the fate of the nation. And literally, there's a whole segment where they argue about who is better for Israel. And I put up a tweet, it's already kind of gone viral or whatever, saying that that moment was the entirety of American politics wrapped up in one image. Two people from the same background, moderated by a third person by the same background, talking about a country in the Middle East and which president will be better for that country in the Middle East. That is American politics in one image. Every other issue is secondary to that. Every other issue is secondary. All other issues can be traded off for that. It is the number one priority. It is the top line. It is what goes first. It is the political formula. And no political formula can brook an and. Right? It's not this country in the Middle East first and anti-immigration, right? Or and oh, we'll get rid of woke, or and all of those other things are red meat and bait to get people on side. The top line issue is you must support that. That's how you get a job. That's how you get a big podcast. That's how you get into Conservative Inc. That's how you become Chris Rufo. That's how you get on Team Trump. That's how you get on bloody Lex Friedman or Joe Rogan. And it's all of that. And never you forget it. That's why I have my belief that all of this is kayfabe, you see. That's why I watch this as I watch pro wrestling. Because essentially, behind it, they're kind of in a win-win position, aren't they? Because let's face it, whoever wins, they're still going to back that certain place. It's just a question of who will do it more, right? Well, she only gives me a blowjob. He will do it, and he'll pull out the tricks as well. That's basically the argument. Anyway, let's have a look at some super chats, and then we'll get out of here. Happy Curse Plague Doctor says, is the LOTR video being made or not? But if I ever had a chance to do anything, yes. When you say the LOTR video, what video is that you've got in mind? I was going to make a video defending on my Friday videos. I've still got possibly one hammer one left to do because I've got so much hammer stuff that I keep on finding, you know, I may do one last hammer thing. Then I'm going to do some crowd pleasing material. I'm going to do in defense of the Star Wars prequels against Mr. Plinkett. I'm going to do in defense of late Game of Thrones or Game of Thrones season 8. I'm going to do, I'm going to do those two definitely. And there's a couple of others I've kind of been toying around with as well in that kind of vein. But we'll see. We'll see. If you mean the Fuentes versus Lord of the Rings, no, because it missed its goal, as did the Ben Shapiro versus Sam Harris one. Missed its goal. You see, there's no point setting those goals if I don't stick to the result. Otherwise, it's just a gimmick, isn't it? So, I mean, I don't, maybe this is something that YouTube rolled out that will just fail because maybe the goal will never be reached. But if I make the video despite missing the goal, I've set a precedent that the goal doesn't matter. And if the goal doesn't matter, why set it? Or we're going to do it anyway. So if you mean the Fuentes one, no, it won't get made. Sam 153 says, delicious slop. Any plans on a Time Person of the Year stream for 2024 and a panel rating your previous list? Well, Sam 153, those Times Person of the Year streams did very badly. Nobody watched them. The viewerships were bad. And as a result, all further Times Person of the Year streams are cancelled. So that's the answer to that. But anyway, thanks a lot. It means so much. Lady of Shalott says, Trump has charisma. Kamala has a charisma bypass. That is true. Port Film Co-op says, I knew you'd be back. Just when I think you got out, the slop has brought you back in. The Argo has given you an offer you can't refuse. I knew it was you, Nima. I'm smart. I've got ideas. Here's the thing, Port Film Co-op. The election, you know, I've got this free night. If I didn't do it, then, you know, I've still got that map to do, by the way. I might do that map in a minute before I do any more super chats. But if you notice, the videos that have done best have actually been non-slop. If you have a look, maybe if I open up a new tab here, I can show you the videos that have done best have been non-slop, unfortunately. So it's actually been the slop videos that have done worst in the new revamp. The highest rated ones have been Why Progressives Fear the Rise of Traditionalism, Discover the Secrets, the Eight Schools of the Right, did well. The Unexpected Soviet Roots of Modern Feminism. Progressive Neoliberalism, Why Won't It Die? Based Books, 60 Mind-Blowing Books. These are the top ones. Boomer Truth Regime. All non-slop. One World Government a Warning. That was me literally reading Major General Richard Hilton. Woke Imperialism, What Is It? Kind of. But all of the ones to do with the news cycle have not done as well as those. So it's actually been the opposite. The anti-slop content has done better than the slop content in the new era. To the extent where I'm considering, after the election is over, changing things so that it's only those sorts of videos. And I do away with the rank punditry because it doesn't do the numbers. Right? If something's not doing the numbers, why would you keep it going? If you're running it like a TV channel, you'd pull it, wouldn't you? You'd pull it. And week after week, I've got weeks worth of data now. And the only kind of current thing content that has done well have been my occasional videos attacking various fake rightsters, you know. My one on James Lindsay did well. My one on Constantine Kissin did well. My recent ones on Francis Foster and Chris Rufo have done reasonably well as well. But the stuff on like British politics has done badly. And the stuff on the American politics has not done that well either. Maybe people don't come to this channel for rank punditry. I don't know. But anyway. So let's do this map before we carry on. Let's do this map. Here we are. So this is a map that's already been made up. I'm just seeing if there's any obvious errors here. I think Idaho would go Trump, wouldn't it? Nevada. Texas, all of these, I would say, are solidly Trump, right? So this has got a Trump win. Now, look, as per Barris, this can't be true, right? This can't be true where there's a split. If Wisconsin goes blue, the other two go blue. So if it was that, if those three, look, so there's a scenario where Trump could win. Trump could win without the Rust Belt there in that scenario. Now, chat, help me out here. Are there any that are red here that Trump will obviously win? Huh. Oh, look. Let's give that to Harris. Look at that. That's close, isn't it? I've given Harris the entire Rust Belt. Let's give that solidly to Trump. Now, are there any of these that are actually Democrats' strongholds? Tell me, folks. Illinois is blue, right? So let's make Illinois blue. That gives it to the Democrats, right? So this scenario gives a Harris squeak win if Harris gets the Rust Belt. Are there any others that are? Georgia is blue for sure. Chicago is MAGA country. Well, Illinois we've given to the Democrats. So this map would give it to Kamala, right? But it looks like from everything we've seen that Trump will get Pennsylvania. From the early data, Trump's got Pennsylvania. And if Barris is right, that gives him the Rust Belt, gives him these two as well. So if Trump got the Rust Belt and that was the map, we'd be looking at that. Now, are there any others that people would give to Harris? All right, so let's give Nevada to Harris. If Trump gets the Rust Belt, he can afford to ship Nevada to Harris, and he can give Arizona to Harris, and New Mexico. Just seeing what else we can play with here. Right, so if he takes the Rust Belt, he's won, basically. Virginia we're giving to Harris. Make it solidly blue. He's won. If he has those three, he's won, basically. Even if you give Harris these ones here. What's the one that they've been going on and on about? Iowa? Where's Iowa? Where is Iowa? This is Iowa, right? Give that to Harris, too. He still won. So basically, it's the Rust Belt. I mean, some people give Trump this, but let's just give it to Harris. He still won. It's just on the Rust Belt, basically. Whoever gets Pennsylvania wins the crown, as far as I can see. Because if Trump gets those three, Harris can't win, mathematically. So, yeah, there it is. Okay. Somebody said I'm shockingly good at American geography. That's due to my interest in pro wrestling, sir. I learned the American map through pro wrestling, believe it or not. Iowa is not a wrestling state, really. All right, let's carry on. If you ask me, I can't really see a scenario where Trump is losing here. I'm going on the early voting data from Pennsylvania, but considering the margins last time, Kamala's counting on a miracle, basically a mathematical miracle. I don't want to be too bullish, but Anyway, Lady of Shalott says, I mean, it's probably more interesting for people to how I learned this through pro wrestling, right? This is WWF in senior country up here. Bruno Sammartino, he headlined in Madison Square Garden. He was big in Pennsylvania, Boston Gardens, and New Jersey. This was all Vince Senior WWF country. This was the stomping grounds of the WWF. Down here in South Carolina, North Carolina, was where Ric Flair made his name in the Mid-Atlantic Territory. This was the Georgia Territory. They combined to form what became of WCW. Florida was a big territory. WCW bought that, so that became one big thing. Jerry Lawler ran Tennessee, that was the Memphis wrestling, basically. There were two territories in Texas, the Funks and Amarillo, and then there was WCCW under the Von Erichs in Dallas. And there was also Southwest Wrestling at one point down here. That was the Tully Blanchard and his dad. They got bought out by WCW eventually as well, as did. And then here in Oklahoma, this was Mid-South, this area here. Superdome in New Orleans, was it? So there was an Alabama territory at one point as well. And then up in this neck of the woods somewhere, where are the Twin Cities? In Indianapolis and Chicago area was where AWA ran up here. This was Nick Bockwinkel and that Hulk Hogan actually originally came from that territory as well. So, and then basically there's a, up in the Northwest, there's nothing apart from Portland, which was run by, they had a Portland wrestling with Buddy, the fat guy, what was his name? Buddy Rose. And, Roddy Piper came from this area up here. And Cali had an office as well. There was an LA office and a San Francisco office, but they closed down. Anyway, that's bored you enough with all of that. All right, so Lady of Shalott says, Trump has charisma, Kamala has a charisma bypass. Port Film Co-op says, it's not Reservoir Dogs. That black tie look is from John Woo's A Better Tomorrow. The plot is directly lifted from Ringo Lam's City on Fire. The latter is a masterpiece and both star Chow Yun Fat. Okay, fair enough. John Woo's A Better Tomorrow. Feel like I may have seen that at some point or another. And are you saying that Tarantino got the Reservoir Dogs look from A Better Tomorrow by John Woo? Is that what you're suggesting? Okay, fair enough. But people will just say Reservoir Dogs, won't they? So I'm not 100% on wearing the tie yet. It depends on how I'm feeling tomorrow. Jack says, what are the timings for your slot on Lotus Eaters? I don't know, Jack. I don't know when I'm in for. If there's anything like last time, we did it in shifts, like you're kind of half hour on or an hour on, hour off, like that. Nathan CJ Hood says, is the best thing for us a Harris win? Trump will return to Fresh Prince, recruit white boys to die for the regime, whereas Harris will be the US Starmer. Honestly, I don't think it matters. We know the score one way or the other. I feel like for the Americans, a Trump win will take a lot of the energy out of things, whereas a Harris win will maximize energy on the right, whereas a Trump win would dissipate energy on the right, and people will go back to doing whatever it is they've done before, going back to grill or watch movies or whatever else. sports. that's my honest feeling. Negronazi has just sent some sort of smiley thing. PS says, I am not saying Jamal will vote for Trump. I think Jamal won't turn out for Harris because Trump was right. Black people don't see Harris as black and a head married to a white guy. She is no Obama. Well, PS, the early voting for Pennsylvania shows that the urban vote is down and the rural vote is up. What does that mean? The rural vote is up and the urban vote is down in early voting. Tells you that you may be right there, that there may be a lot of Jamals sitting on their hands this time around. Malarkey says, as Western nation states are owned by the investor class, can any insurgent win in a meaningful way? Yes, I would say, like Trump, he's got them on side, basically. So Trump is an insurgent who's about to win. The meaningful part is more interesting, and it remains to be seen. You know, Ben Shapiro, in his talk with Sam Harris, basically said that Trump is going to stick in a bunch of swamp creatures, like Mike Pompeo is going to be back and things like that. That's what Ben Shapiro claimed. Robert Barnes, who has drunk all the Kool-Aid, he is basically a walking MAGA Kool-Aid factory, says no, Mike Pompeo is not going to get anywhere near being appointed. There aren't going to be any John Boltons this time. Trump is going to put people like Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. into key roles. Robert Barnes thinks that Tulsi Gabbard might be the Secretary of State or Department of Defense or something like that. So we'll know one way or the other soon. And again, I ran a poll on Twitter asking people if they believed Robert Barnes when he said that. And the majority of people do not believe Robert Barnes, but it is close. I shall show you. 44% of people think that Trump is going to go wild and put people like Gabbard and Robert Kennedy in. Majority of people think Trump is just going to stick with the likes of Pompeo. We'll know one way or the other. And it will be interesting, won't it? Because Shapiro certainly is appeased because he thinks that Trump is going to put swamp creatures in. We'll see. Bronze Age Puritan says, thanks, Trump, for the entertainment, regardless of the politics, and the same for AA. Politics post-Trump will be relatively boring. Don't forget, if Trump is the president, there'll be another 4 years of Trump. So, if nothing else, it'll be box office. Stephen Sugar says, all of this is BS, probably wrestling. So everything is about the place that shall not be named. Correct. Basically, yes. The only issue in American politics is that. Why? All political formulas tend towards a top line issue. And it is obvious that in America, the top line issue is that. Not immigration, not woke, not abortion. That. It's the only issue. The only issue that they care about. And once you understand this, you'll see it in a lot of the works of a regime apparatchiks. Scrub and Evelyn just did a stream before this one went out where they showed that in situ, in practice. At the end of the day, it boils down to that. All things drive back towards that. The carve-out, the Schmittian exception, the special status. Everything else is secondary. You can have a look at Rufo, you can have a look at Lindsay, you can have a look at the people that Scrump and Evelyn looked at in the last stream. Kissing, all of these jokers. or you can just go to a MAGA rally. There is one top line issue. Everything else is secondary. And I think that's it. Unless the people have sent... Microsoft Sam Harris says, call me Nick the Pig because I am all in on the slop. Jimmy Hoffa says slop. Funtamari says slop. MAGA slop. And that's it. The Devastator said, would you be interested in an end of the year quiz game, EA? Have one in waiting, ready to use. Possibly, Devastator, possibly. Remind me when we get closer to the time. This is a relatively busy week, but hopefully when we're the other side of the, when we're the other side of this week, we'll return to BAU, business as usual. Break Gear says nothing. He's just sent a super sticker. Well, thank you very much for that, sir. And I believe, is Reform a Liberal Party? Yes, of course it is. They're all Liberal parties. All of them are more Thatchery kind of liberal, classical liberal, I guess. But yeah, basically they are. All right. So that will do for now. You see, if I'd set that goal to end later, it would have hit it, wouldn't it? It's a bit sly. Maybe I'll run that one again, because that Shapiro versus Harris interview needs to be seen to be believed. Could be ancient history in a week's time. Maybe in a week's time, all of this will look stupid and we'll be sitting under a Kamala Harris presidency. Who knows? I doubt it, though. Join me on Lotus Eaters. I have a video coming out tomorrow night. Buy courses at the academic agency. Buy it now. Thousands of people have done the trivium, leveled up their knowledge in writing and in logic and in rhetoric. But most importantly of all, friends, remember to get sugar, Welsh salted butter, and get out.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.